Good, everybody. Robyn here, checking in on a brand new episode of Pillow Talk. Y'all already know y'all need to hit that subscribe button on, okay? Make sure y'all follow me on Facebook at Pillow Talk Podcast. Y'all already know. Giving y'all today a super, super dope and exclusive interview with none other than R&B and soul artist Elijah LaFleur. Now, this was absolutely one of my most anticipated interviews for season 3. He just dropped an amazing album, Midnight Summer, that had a single Woman that came before the album, and he just reinvented the R&B and soul genre. So I'm really, really excited to hear from him. We chopped it up a lot about his inspirations and what goes into his mind whenever he creates music. A big part of artistry, especially for new music artists, is really knowing who you are and knowing how to separate yourself from everybody else. Keep listening. New episode dropping right now. Tap in with Black Creative Productions, a Black-owned media company focused at creating original and captivating media. From commercials to photo shoots to publications, we have all the tools that you need to build your business up. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Black Creative Productions to see all of the latest drops. Black Creative Productions, we are media. What's good, everybody? Robyn here checking in. Come on. I was like, what the hell? What's good, everybody? Robyn here checking in on another episode of Pillow Talk Podcast, man. Super duper excited to be back in the purple room with it. Super excited on my guest. I'm sorry, y'all calling me. I'm live and shit. Hold on. So I'm super excited to have this guest on the show. Oh my God, y'all don't even know. A super duper fan, new super fan, if you will, to this amazing R&B and soul artist. So he just dropped an amazing album this year. Really, he dropped, you know, more than one album, but this album in particular is just hitting a different accord up in here. So I was happy I got to have him on Pillow Talk. We're definitely going to get into it. I want to know all about his creative process. So we got Elijah LaFleur in the building. What's up?
Yo, what's up?
Yes, what's up? So excited to have you here on Pillow Talk.
Excited to be here for sure. Been waiting on it.
Y'all hear that? Waiting on it. No, but Elijah, I am a mega fan. I had the pleasure of coming across your music this year, and ever since then, I've just been like telling people about you. So I want to get into Elijah LaFleur's brain a little bit. For one, the name Fire. Okay, so is that like your real name right there?
That's a part of my real name.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a part of my real name. I ain't gonna give my government.
No. You... Real name. No, you don't gotta do that. I'm just saying I like the LaFleur. I like that whole aspect. So what made you like decide on that to be kind of like your artist name?
So my name originally was just short. It was just Eli. And that's when I was So when I used to just be strictly hip hop, you know what I'm saying? The only thing you was getting from me was 16s. And then I was just like, this ain't really, you know, fitting the trajectory that I see for my artistry. So I think it was around like 2013, 2014. I was like, you know what? Let me change my name. And I was trying to figure out what I was going to name myself. And I was like, let me just use my real name. This shit fire. So, and can't nobody sue me. Because you take me to court, I'm like, this is on my birth certificate. So that was
Very
pretty much
smart.
that right there.
Okay, I'm feeling that. Absolutely, I'm feeling that. I like that. I think the artist name is, very important. Maybe it's an element a lot of artists, don't look at, but I think it's important. That kind of, captures people in. So,
Nah, for sure. Definitely looking
yeah.
at like the, you know what I'm saying? You got the Frank Oceans, and it's like those, the Luther Vandross, like that two name artist name is crazy. So I was like, nah, that's the one.
Facts. Big facts, big facts. So, are you originally from Chicago, or where is it that you reside from?
I am. I was born on the south side of Chicago. My hospital is no longer there. They tore that down some years ago, but yeah,
Okay. South side, the best side.
absolutely,
Hey.
absolutely,
Uh-oh. We get a lot of Chicago artists that
absolutely,
come through. I always gotta
absolutely.
ask. The South Side definitely been represented though.
I love my brothers and sisters on the west side too, and on
Thanks.
the north side. You know what I'm saying? Show love. Shout
West,
out! Shout out
well,
the
out
east
West get a
side.
little crazy, but I definitely
It
rock with
does.
out West hard. They goes hard for sure. No, I love that. I love that. So growing up in the city, then for you, what were some like major musical influences you saw growing up?
Of course, you know what I'm saying? You see Ye, like you see Kanye West. I remember my first time hearing College Dropout. I was like, this shit is crazy. Like, I don't know who this is, but this shit is crazy. And then I remember hearing Common's album B for the first time. And that album to me is like, that's both of those top five, like just for me personally. And then when you delve into the R&B soul scene, when you look at people like Donnell Jones, you know what I'm saying? Like that's one of my songwriting inspirations. Like if I could ever, get in a studio session with him, like I'd just be sitting back, like just studying. Like this is crazy. This is Donnell
Thanks.
Jones.
Thanks.
Lupe Fiasco. And it's crazy because you're like, well, you R&B, so how do you take these, like my pen comes from hip hop. It comes from, doing that for so long and taking what I learned in that space and bringing it over and cultivating it in the space that I'm in now. So those are some of the greatest writers ever. But then when you talk about R&B soul, you got Chaka Khan, you know what I'm saying? You got Earth, Wind, and Fire, like we going crazy. Like so
Okay.
yeah, so it's a lot of influence that I took from the city. Even down to like the days when like Chance and Vic and them started to blow up, Save Money. One of my favorite writers, Saba. Like, so yeah, I love the city and what it's created and what has cultivated from it.
Nice. Absolutely. Okay, because first off, let's get up for the Earth, Wind, and Fire. Okay.
You
Love,
can't
love,
never go
love.
wrong with them.
You cannot. I'm a big Isley Brothers fan myself and Marvin Gaye. So
Okay.
yeah, you getting into that. I mean, that's how it
Absolutely.
goes. I love that. Absolutely. So then what age would you feel like was when you really started to kind of get more into your songwriting abilities?
So I would say probably like 17. Like 17 is when it's like, okay, you start writing, you know what I'm saying? I'm start writing my songs, writing my verses. But when I really started to take it serious was around my second go around in college. So I think I was like 19. And I released a mixtape called Lucid Dreams. And that's when I was like, all right, you know what I'm saying? I got a pen. Like the pen is there. Now it's just a matter of sharpening it and getting it better. And I think just being in different rooms, like being in studios with different artists, not only in Chicago, but Atlanta, New York, LA, it just made me hone in, and like I had to go back into the cave for a second. Like, all right, you know what I'm saying? I see what's out there, and like I'm that person that's always like, I'm never gonna take for granted a gift that was given to me, but I do see that other people are using it better because they're being themselves. So that's what the really, that's the fact that I just started to discover along this journey that I'm in now, is really finding who I am as an artist and as an individual and telling that story versus telling someone else's story. Like when I first started writing, I was talking about selling drugs. I ain't never sold drugs a day of my life.
Oh
Like
no, Kevin, Kevin.
I ain't never, but it was like, this is what I'm hearing. Like, this is what I'm hearing on the radio. So it's
Yeah.
like, all right, this was hot. Let me try to emulate this, but that's not me. And like, that's the best advice I give to artists nowadays, because the acting like you sold drugs and just coming on the cocaine savant vibes, like that's the most notable one. But you also got people that act like they was nerds and stuff, and you wasn't. You was the one selling the drugs. So it's
Okay.
like be you. It's like be you.
Hold on, y'all, 'cause wait, he said he was rapping about stealing, dealing, and willing and never
My
even
first
did it,
two
y'all.
freestyles was
Pray.
cocaine savant bars. I have never had the urge to
He
put
said,
my
I
life on
never
the
had
line.
the
To put my life on the line to sell
Oh,
drugs.
snap. I am dead. No, but you're not wrong. It's a lot of other artists that obviously take that route and haven't done a lot of those things. So, I mean, speaking in that, context, how does somebody kind of stay away from that? How do you separate yourself from talking about that?
You gotta really dive into who you are. Like, you gotta look at your story, like your childhood, the hundreds of chapters that you have in your life, like whether it's heartbreak, whether it was a great core memory, whether it's the first time you fell in love with your family, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever that may be, whatever your story may be. You might be somebody that like basketball, anime, or something. Like, describe who you are. Find who you are as an individual. Then find how that correlates to who you are as an artist, and then figure out how to tell that story time and time again while making it fresh. And I think that's why R&B flourishes. Like, you hear that monotone conversation. Argument, R&B is dead, hip hop is dead. Like, that is the stupidest shit that anybody could utter out their mouth, because as long as you talk about it, it's alive. Now, respectively, you may not rock with the new sound that has cultivated out of these genres, but it's still alive. Like, this is the new generation's way of expressing that. And I feel like once you realize that, you have to figure out where you fit in to that scenery, where you fit into that story. So my story may be telling, talking about love and heartbreaks and therapy. And a lot of the times it may sound like I'm talking about love, when in actuality I'm talking about the reflection of self and, self-healing. And it just comes out in the aura, or that comes out in the palette, where it sounds like I'm talking about love and falling in love with somebody. But at the very essence of falling in love with somebody, you gotta fall in love with yourself. So it's like, that's when you realize what story you're trying to tell, it is so much easier to write music. It's so much easier to convey what's on your mind.
What? Y'all, dropping the gems. Dropping the gems. Shout out to everybody that's tuned in right now. Make sure y'all share this video, heart, like, comment. I am loving this conversation right now, 'cause you giving it to them like that it need to be given. Like, you need to know
Man,
yourself. You need to know
absolutely.
yourself. And as a writer, I have a problem sometimes with artists that don't really know who they are. And then it's like, how am I supposed to talk about you if I can't even convey who you are from what you're putting out? So I'm happy that you said that, 'cause that's so important.
Yeah, it's like And it's not an easy thing, and it wasn't an easy thing. Like, I'm still learning who I am, just as I live life and as I grow. And you know what I'm saying? As a human being, like, there's a lot of suffering and pain that you go through just being here. Like, I don't care who you talk to, their story may not be your story, but somewhere along the path in their story, there's some pain and suffering. You know what I'm saying? You come into the world via pain and suffering. So, you know, I'm still developing my pen. I'm still developing my story and still trying to learn who I am, but I'm getting to the root of who I am as a person. And it's just making everything that much clearer. It makes it easier to explain to people, like, this is what I believe in. You know, this is what I think is right. This is what I think is wrong. You know what I'm saying? It allows me the space to have those conversations and be able to explain it and not be corny with it. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people deem certain music nowadays corny, because in reality it is the same story. Because it's like, regardless if you got a writer or not, the way you tell that story, the way you express that story, in a certain down to the words and syllables that you use, that shit can make or break a song. That shit can make or break how I relate to the song. And I feel like the difference between music now and music of a decade or 2 decades ago, or even past then, was you would tell a story about making love to someone, and you wouldn't, a child would not be able to know what you were talking about. Like, we grew up singing Isley Brothers, singing Mike, Stevie, not knowing Marvin Gaye, not knowing that they was talking about making love, or they was talking about this or that. But now you don't have to second guess. A lot of the songs, you don't have to second guess. And it's not a knock to anybody who writes that way. Like, that's the way you choose to express yourself. But in that same breath, when you can tell a story and it is a literal metaphor for something else, that make people be like, oh, that's poetic. Like, that's 100%. That's some Edgar Allan Poe shit. Like, so, but
Like,
that's just how I see it.
yeah, no, you're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. That's so funny that you said that. I was listening to some Isley shit the other day, and that's how I was thinking about how many times Ron Isley has described climaxing and coming in his songs.
Absolutely.
And I was
And you would
like,
not know
right, yeah. When
it.
I was younger, I'm jamming to this shit. Like, oh my God, this is great. And now I'm older and I'm listening back and I'm like, this nigga talking about coming. He talking about climaxing.
Exactly.
Like, you're so right about that. I mean, do you feel like that's what separates, a good writer, if you will, from just like a basic writer in music?
So, okay. So I'll ask you this. I'm gonna respond with a question. Would Frank Ocean be Frank Ocean if he told exact, if we all knew who he was talking about on Thinking About You, would Thinking About You hit the same? Would it be the, would it have the same effect? If we all knew exactly what he was talking about on Pink Matter, what Andre 3000 was talking about on Pink Matter, or exactly what he was talking about in Bad Religion. Because if you listen to Bad Religion, you're thinking he's talking about Islam.
But some people in defense, look, I'm like, I legit thought he was talking about a woman in Thinking About You. No shade. I
Hey,
literally did.
but look, that's the beauty of it. We all
Right.
did until somebody told us. Nah, he wasn't. You know what I'm saying? When I heard Bad Religion, I love that song. But at first I was like, damn, he just going at the Muslims like this. And but when I heard it, I was like, wait a minute. He's talking about love. Like, what brings you to your knees? When a man proposes or woman proposes nowadays, you know what I'm saying? You never know, giving it up.
Never
I'm not with that, but you never know who's in there. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna get down on your knee and ask me to marry you, and I'm the man. We're not doing that. But to each his own. But he's talking about love. Like, that is beautiful songwriting to me. That is beautiful songwriting to me.
Facts. Absolutely facts. We're not gonna knock that. We Frank Ocean stan 150,000% for sure. And you're not wrong. I mean, I don't think it would have hit as hard, to be honest, if we knew it was about a man off bat.
Nah.
So you're right. The whole illusion of it made it that. Ooh, this is getting deep, y'all. Not we. This is getting deep. So getting back to you and your sound in particularly. We've talked about a few different influences that you've had, you know, in kind of your songwriting process. So what really inspires you to, you know, put a song together?
So I have a process, and sometimes it may be like 10 minutes. Sometimes it may be an hour. So I have a playlist called my songwriter playlist. And it is just different songs from different people that kind of like it just lights the fire to get me thinking. And a lot of the people in there, like Stevie Wonder, I love the way Stevie Wonder writes. Mm. That's my favorite singer of all time, favorite songwriter. Frank Ocean, of course, is there. You know, it's a few other artists, a lot of other artists actually. Mm. Donnell Jones, and I just literally listen to this playlist, just listen and sing along, and then I'll get to the studio, because a lot of the writing I do now is in the studio. I found that I'm able to capture the feeling and emotion better when I do it right away. Mm. So I'll go into the studio, we'll start working on music. Sometimes we might have a beat that's already queued up or something that we already plan on working on. And sometimes we'll just build from scratch. And so I have to stop myself from like writing, because I write really fast. Like I can, some of these songs I wrote in like 15 minutes.
Damn.
Yeah. Like once I get going, I'm going. And like, even when I was like rapping, My homies, they always be like, bro, everybody just started writing, you done. But it's, when I get inspired, I'm just everything is moving. And that's another thing, I don't write unless I'm inspired. Like if it's not talking to me, I cannot force it. Like I've had to turn down features and been like, bro, I'm not gonna give you my best work because this is not talking to me. It's not it.
Wow. So you've turned down features, you said.
Yeah, because it's like, it's not it. And then some people, I got to put this out there. Man, it is not my job to let you know that this is not for you. Because oh. I kid you not, like.
Pew, pew.
I kid you not. I had to ask the homie, I'm like, bro, how do you nicely tell somebody, like, stop? Because this is, and I think that's another thing that we have to get to in music is this is a craft. And just like everybody can't be in the NBA, everybody can't shoot a basketball, everybody can't play in the NFL or play football, everybody can't play baseball, everybody can't be an engineer, everybody can't be a teacher. Not really. There has to be some type of clearance where it's like, all right, bro. This, you like, come on, like, you gotta have some self-awareness. Thanks. And I've gotten some of that, but I'm at the point now, like, I used to be just like, all right, I'll do it, you know what I'm saying, trying to be nice, but I feel like that's not fair to the people that you're working with, because it's like, bro, I'm not gonna let you go out here and be crazy and look crazy.
Yeah,
like, I'm not gonna do that, you know what I'm saying? If somebody's not kind enough in your circle to tell you and be honest with you, I'm going to be honest with you. And I for damn sure I'm not going to look crazy with you. So it's like just picking and choosing. And so if I'm not inspired, I can't do it, because it's like, I'm gonna write some bullshit. And now we just both got some bullshit going. And now it's a...
Got some bullshit, that's out.
We both associated with a bullshit song.
You're not wrong. Damn, that's hard.
Yeah, so that's it. Like, I've had to, especially when you know you got some bills doing, you like, damn, I need this, but you gotta like, you gotta
He said
choose
the
and
bills
tackle
do.
that
It's hard
option.
out here.
Yeah, like you gotta choose that over the bread. Like the money ain't everything.
Facts. I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you on that. That's a tough decision, but I feel you.
Very.
When you gotta stand on that artistry, you gotta stand on that shit. You gotta
Very.
stand on that shit.
Very. And I knew
Y'all
I
don't.
wasn't tweaking one time. I sent it to my family group chat, and my mom was like, "You better not do that shit."
Oh, not the mom, not you to send it to the peoples.
I sent it to my OG, and she was like, "Nah, don't you do that."
And see, they ain't gonna lie to you. They ain't gonna lie to you.
Nah,
I am
not at
dead. No,
all.
you're not wrong. I mean, I respect that though. I wish more artists would take that initiative of at least letting somebody else know, like, this ain't it. Like, this not it.
Yeah, it's crazy because I heard I seen a clip today of it was Ice Cube, Too Short, and E-40 on $1 Million Worth of Game, and Ice Cube was like, "I ain't never charged for a feature," and I'm like, "What? You never got paid for a feature?" And he said, "If I fuck with you, I fuck with you, and if I don't, I don't." I'm like, "Damn." I'm like, damn. And would I completely take on that mantra? Absolutely not. I gotta get paid.
I need them
It costs to
dollars.
do this. Yeah, it costs to do this. But I'm like, the basic principle of that is like, it's so cold to me because it's like, I'm not doing this for the bread. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing this because this person paid me however much money to do this feature. I'm doing it because I actually believe in this song.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's the blueprint right there.
Facts. I'm dead. Okay, Ice Cube. Yeah, I gotta get my money. He might have tweaked just a little bit on
For
that. I
sure.
could see
For sure.
discount, you know what I'm saying? Family
Yeah.
discount, something like that. But hey, at the same time, if I fuck with you, I fuck with you. I get that. That's interesting. So I've
Yeah,
been
move
grilling
on.
you, grilling you for a minute. I definitely wanna get into some of the music too. So first off, you guys, if you have not downloaded, listened, streamed to Elijah LaFleur and Midnight Summer, you need to do that. Do that right now. Do that right now. This is one of my favorite albums of the year, by the way.
Love.
Like, no cap. I love this and I play it to a lot of people. Let me show y'all first off because crazy. Like, I love the cover of this for one, so can you just
Shout out
tell
my
me?
boy.
Yeah, like this is super dope. So first off, what was the inspo with Midnight Summer? What was the inspo with this?
So we were working on an entirely different album. So at the
What?
Sunset Radio, I was like, all right, bet we back in. Because I finished Sunset Radio July or August of 2021. So I
Okay.
was just sitting on it. I was ready to push it, but I was, of course, going on the rollout. And then right after, but even before I dropped Sunset Radio, I was working on the album. And about March or April, I was like, I hit my boy Romar Salas and I hit Wildlife Willie. And I was like, look, I was listening to Prince today. And, I got inspired to do an 80s project. Like that's what's on my heart right now. I don't think that the direction that we're going in is the direction that that I really want to take at this point. And we were starting to catch a little stride, but it just wasn't there. And I can 100% say the album that we were working on, it was finished. It was pretty much finished. We had like two tracks left. It wasn't a bad album. But it wasn't the best that I could do, and the theme that I went with Midnight Summer, I loved it because we really stayed on task. Like Ro did a great job of keeping us on task sonically, and then of course Suede is just like he sent the beat in, and it I mean I was like, bro, you've been spying on us in the studio, like it fits, like it. So Suede produced Woman. And then Wildlife was he was in sessions too, and the three of them just went crazy, and then IB Classic sat in on a couple sessions and went crazy on he did help me do Retro Love, him and Ro. So everything just kind of came together, and like again, I went back to the playlist. I had an 80s playlist, like, and I was listening to everything from Prince to Michael to what's Shorty's name? Her last name is Lofton. Mike looked at them crazy in the We Are the World. He looked at her crazy when she started.
Not Lori. That white girl.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Her last name is Lofton.
Cindy Lofton.
And even a song that I could have swore up and down. Go listen to 99 Love Balloons. And when you hear it, you'll know the song that I'm talking about. The melody is like dun 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 dun, and it's in almost every 80s music movie. Yeah, they're not okay. Even. I always thought that song was in English. That is not an English song.
Oh, it's in another language.
Yeah, it's in another language, and I always. Mm. I don't know what I was doing, but when I was younger, but the song was not in English. It was in I think it was like German or something. But I had this playlist and listened to everything every single day that we were working on this project, and we got through it. I think we finished Midnight Summer in June, I think it was. I think we finished it in June. It got and it was mixed and mastered. It was mastered in July, and then we released it in September.
Nice. Like, this is definitely 80s vibe, electronica. I feel like I need to be, I don't know. It was definitely taking me to another time. I love the whole project. So I'm just going to play some snippets of the album, if that's cool. Okay.
No, absolutely. Oh, shout out on the cover, Ruben, my boy Ruben Rodriguez. Yeah. Yes. I sent that to him. I sent him the idea. I just told him. And he went crazy. He also did the woman cover as well.
Nice. Yeah, they look like they kind of coincide together. Yeah. Like they're cohesive. So I'm gonna play a little bit of Midnight Summer, y'all. I definitely want y'all to tune in with this. Love it, love it, love it.
Let's be honest. Who are we to crush these feelings we discover? Take the moment to observe the room for others. We are in the midst of midnight summer rain. Feel the rainbow bleed in many different colors. Feel the changes from the sky. Sky, sky. We are here.
Stop fucking playing right now. This is like soundtrack movie, motion picture, like, just, man, I fucking love this album. But I mean, I wasn't expecting that, you know what I'm saying? When I initially listened to it, I didn't have any expectations, but when I heard it, I was just like, yo, this is definitely a nice mixture of the past and the present, I would definitely say. Because I can tell the 80s influence, the little electronica type of influence, but you have that modern undertone with it. And I just, I love it. I love, love it.
Thank you. Nah, definitely. this is definitely, I would say, my favorite project. I always try to keep, like, the themes cohesive. So that's how they end up always sounding like soundtrack. Like motion picture soundtrack songs, but I am trying to get in that, you know, in that lane, because I'm also a filmmaker, so it's like, I guess they just kind of coincide with each other.
Yes,
Absolutely. What whole sound? You need to write what Stevie Wonder. And to me, that's still one of the best soundtracks. Stevie Wonder producing the Woman in Red movie soundtrack. Yeah. You know, he gave that whole movie flair just because of the damn soundtrack. You know, music is so impactful to people, especially in movies. So, yeah, I hear this and I already see a movie in my head. And it ain't even, you know, I want to play one more track. So we definitely need to hear Woman for sure, because I love that as well, too. But I think that was another track that really just it was.
Yeah, no, that's the club joint right there.
That's. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna get a little snippet, y'all. We'll get a little snippet.
Swayed on a trend. You seem like a really cool girl. The one from my dreams. Guess it is a small world. She ain't for the team. Negative is my girl. This woman is mine. This woman is mine. Your heart is true, girl. I am in my sleeve, ain't no tricks to see, girl. What could this be? I guess you gotta see, girl. Could you be mine? Could you be mine? I've been on a ride to the occasion. Are you looking for a man tonight, baby? If it's my way, that's why I won't be vacant. Such a serious thought you can play with. He's a choosing girl, but I'm choosing girl, choosing you. I want you. You're a proven girl. I'm gonna lose it, girl. Chasing you. I want you. She's better.
Obsessed. Obsessed. I am obsessed. Y'all don't even understand. No, Elijah, but it, I mean, this is just, I really just love the whole cohesiveness of it. So I love that you said you had this whole 80s spurt where you was just kind of listening to that and you used it in the music. Like, that's super, super, super dope. So is the 80s like another genre that you, you know, draw a lot of inspiration from, or was it just kind of something you, I don't know, put in for this specific project?
I think it's a yes to both of those questions. However, I'm always in a different mood and mode. Like when I approach an album, like I said, I do everything in theme. So that one was like the 80s was really inspiring me. And I love 80s music. Like if I had to go back to a decade, the 80s would be it. But I will say, like, for what I'm working on now and, you know, moving forward, I always like to just, like I said, like to do what I'm inspired by. So it's definitely going to be different sounds. And you'll always hear some similarities pulling from the past projects, but it'll always be a new sound.
Nice. Absolutely. I love it. Let's give it up one more time for Midnight Sun. Like, literally one of the best releases of 2022, hands down. So as you continue on, you know, with your artistry and you're working towards different projects, how do you see your growth? Like, how does this show your growth versus, you know, Sunset Radio or some of your other projects? Was it Last Night in LA, which is like a older, you know, release? So how does this kind of show your growth right now as an artist?
I think that if you go back to a track like Last Night in L.A., and I think I released that in 2016, and then you go to a track like Different, which I released at the top of 2021, you see that this sound has always been there. And then when you go forward to Sunset Radio, you look at a track like God, Outro, and it's still some resemblance of it. And then Midnight Summer just kind of take that sound and just runs with it. So it's like, it's showing you like the sound has always been there. That inspiration has always been there. But now I'm just more so embracing that sound.
Facts. Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. I'm a mega fan. Like I said, I listen to it and I've been like playing it nonstop and I just love it. I also love Sunset Radio as well. I think that was great too. But this one just hit me up in here. So I do want to give you them flowers because this is a great release. Like super, super great. Super great. So, you know, 2022 is almost over. Will you be releasing anything else for the album as far as like additional videos or visuals?
Yes. Yes. We will be releasing some more of the visualizers through probably like one or two more before the end of the year. Definitely have one more in the works. And then, you know, at the top of the year, we're looking into, you know, fleshing those out and getting some real, real music videos done. Because it's like, we have the story that we want to tell. It's just now figuring out how do we tell it and how do we portray it. And we don't do winter videos no more. We did a video in the winter, like a few years ago under the artist name Amended Hearts. It was me and my cousin Flood. And we was like, yeah, we not shooting no more videos outside in the winter. Only
it's inside. Cold. It's cold as hell.
Yeah. Nah, it's you can tell in a bit. Like this shit is insane. Not in Chicago, at least. We gotta go somewhere else.
Y'all outside. Yeah, you gotta do that shit somewhere else.
Yeah, That's not doable.
No, okay, I feel that. I would love to definitely see some more visuals from the project. I think that would be super dope for sure. Yeah, I would love to see that. I definitely love to see that. So also, you know, we're going into 2023, you know what I'm saying? Getting into another year, another opportunity to build towards goals. So is there one major thing that you want to work towards in 2023, whether that be personally or music wise?
I think music wise, I'm looking to connect with more people. And I think that it coincides with one of my main personal goals, which is to, you know, embrace myself more and, you know, and portraying and showing who I actually am as a person. You know, because a lot of the times I'll notice that I'll dial myself back, you know, and just, it's a lot of personality, but also especially like, we grew up in a different time. So it's like, I'm not going to lie. I have trouble trying to adjust sometimes because a lot of the shit that we would just say like jokingly out of love back in 05 to 07, you know what I'm saying? In school, it's not okay to like just do all of that no more. So it's like, I'm still... Like, I'll be honest, like, I'll be personally watching, like, I'll be like, oh, okay. you can't do that. You can't say that. And I think that it's like one thing that I always realize, and this is being real. I think that there's so much love in the world for everybody in all walks of life. And I grew up in a time where it was like, yo, we joke with each other. Like, that's what we do. Like, that's what we do in class. That's what we do at home. And, you know, we understood that it was out of love. Now, no, it's not the same no more. So it's like, I find myself like, kind of like crouching in the corner sometimes. Like when I be at the parties and stuff, I be in the corner to myself just because I be observing and just people watching. Like people are very amazing to me. And a lot of times I don't want to be outside. I like being in the crib and in the studio. So I think that both of those coincide because I think that as I grow more and just be more outspoken with myself, then I can connect with more people and grow my audience as well. So 2023, yes. In other words, we outside.
Hey, y'all, he said we outside. 2023. No, I love to hear that. Absolutely. I love to hear that. 2023 is coming up, man. It's time is precious and it ain't to be wasted. So it's never too early to start, you know, reinventing yourself. So I always like to ask that.
Not at all. And the end of 2022 is just as important as the beginning, because the way you close it out is how you're going to start it off.
Hallelujah. You ain't wrong about that. Hallelujah. I don't plan on doing a lot for New Year's this year myself. I'm going to just chill.
You know, absolutely.
Chill.
Absolutely. It's people still getting sick outside, too. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not about to be congregating with everybody.
Yeah. It ain't that deep, y'all. It ain't that deep. No, but I've just really enjoyed talking with you, Elijah, like picking your brain and just kind of hearing, you know, your artistry, if you will, and just your influences and the way that you decipher things, I think is really inspiring for one. But hopefully other artists will take this into consideration, because like, yeah, we mentioned it's a lot of artists that don't know who they are. And I think that really, really stuck out with you, because you know exactly who the fuck you are when it comes to your music. As you continue to evolve, obviously, you know, you'll expand. But for the most part, for the meat of it, I mean, you know who you are wholeheartedly. And that shines, you know, through your music. It really does.
For sure.
Yeah, it's super dope. So, of course, I have your IG scrolling on the bottom of the screen. But definitely let us know anywhere else that we can tap in with you and stream your music.
Literally every, what that ad is, at Elijah LaFleur, that is every single ad. Every single ad. Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, if whatever music service you have, whether you support Tidal, Apple Music, or Spotify, SoundCloud, AudioMac, everything, just Elijah LaFleur.
Yes. Now, Elijah, when Elijah LaFleur comes to mind, what's one word, you know, that can kind of describe you, that can kind of sum you up for the people?
Just one word.
Yep, just one.
Just one mood.
Ooh. Ooh. Mood. A mood.
We got something for every mood.
Ooh. I like that, y'all. It's a mood. It's a mood. I like that. Elijah LaFleur is a mood. No, I fuck with that. Definitely appreciate you again for coming on Pillow Talk Podcast. I'm going to be looking for the visuals, so make sure you let me know, you know, when they drop.
For sure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Always. Shout out to everybody that tuned in tonight, hearted, shared, liked. We appreciate you. Make sure that you guys tap in with Elijah LaFleur. Like I said, his information is scrolling on the bottom of the screen. And as always, y'all can subscribe to Pillow Talk Podcast, streaming on all major platforms. Sending love and light to everybody, y'all.
Indeed. So.